Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Nell Larson is away this week, and joining me as co-host, guest co-host, is Lisa Yoder. She's a sustainability manager for Summit County. And also, our first guest is Kevin Emerson with Utah Clean Energy. He's the Energy Efficiency Program Director there. And Josh Kraft, also with UCE. He is Government Affairs Director with Utah Clean Energy. And he's calling us from the Capitol. Is that right, Josh? Yep. Is that where you are?
Yes, in the glorious basement of the Capitol as we speak.
Ah, well, it's a good connection, and we can hear you fine, because I'm sure there's a lot of activity there. It's the last couple of days of...
3 days left. Yep.
Okay, so it's going to get pretty... Things get pretty hectic, I assume, these last few days?
Absolutely. There's... Lots of bills, including some really important energy and air quality bills, hang in the balance to be decided in the last couple days. And the temporary collapse of the tax reform bill, you know, has freed up some space for some debate on some other issues. And so we have lots to cover over the next 72 plus hours or so.
All right. Well, we're going to get to them bit by bit. Also, I just want to thank Kevin for coming in. Thanks.
Yeah, John. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
All right. So let's, there's a whole bunch. Let's start with maybe some of the bills. Obviously, these are environmental related or energy related or so, sustainability related. Which bills have, let's say, passed already?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a couple an overview of a couple of the bills that passed. They're related to really kind of how we build buildings, how we improve the energy efficiency of the new buildings that are built. So really one that passed that actually really takes the state forward in a pretty meaningful way is House Bill 218, which is a bill that improves the building construction standards, adopts the latest building construction standards.
Mm-hmm.
This did not include really any changes to new residential construction because of an agreement that the legislature and stakeholders came to a couple of years ago. But this bill does include the latest energy conservation standards for new commercial construction.
Commercial construction.
So all new commercial construction starting this summer will be starting to use the latest standards, a 2018 standard, and there's only probably a few states, probably five states around the country that have adopted that. So it was a good kind of byproduct of a bill that that brought a bunch of fire codes and building codes up to par, and it includes energy conservation for commercial.
Wow, that's fantastic. Who championed that? Who can we give credit to?
Yeah, this is a bill that Representative Mike Schultz sponsored.
Yeah.
And we're really, you know, appreciative of him taking that on. It dealt with mechanical code, plumbing code, electrical code,
right,
a bunch of the other building standards that represent the minimum standards for new, you know, construction in the state.
Okay. And basically prior to this, quote unquote older building codes that were being applied, commercial mm-hmm. building codes.
Prior to this, it was a 3-year-old code, which we now know more, and we have better techniques and new information that has been incorporated into this latest code.
Excellent. So we have higher performing commercial buildings.
Yeah, commercial, not residential.
This is commercial.
Separate,
code.
But these are all commercial buildings going forward. We'll have to use it. Okay, that's House Bill 218, and that has passed.
And it has passed.
All right.
We would have liked to have seen it gone further on the residential side, but we're going to come back in a couple years and have that conversation again.
Literally one step at a time.
Yeah. Okay, one tiny, tiny win on that issue is that, as we saw, a little bit of additional continuing education on the topic of energy conservation and construction that's now required for general contractors in the state.
Okay.
Since we didn't make any headway in the residential energy conservation standard, House Bill 187, which is kind of a companion bill to that House Bill 218, specified that 1 hour of the continuing education that's required for contractors should be on the topic of energy conservation.
Huh.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, that is a small
step.
It's a small step.
But again, hour. I'm a professional engineer, and I have to re-up my engineering license, and I have to take 19 hours of coursework or so to stay up to speed. And so that's what this is about. In addition to the other hours contractors have to take to maintain their license, 1 hour to sustainable. Okay.
Exactly.
That's great. All right. So those are HB 218 and 187. Josh, you have any bills that you like that passed?
I'll just highlight the resolution that passed.
Okay.
And it passed early in the session. That's HCR 2 by Representative Patrice Aaron. And that's a resolution that recognizes that Utah has a lot of renewable energy resources, solar, wind, geothermal, in certain types of hydropower in rural communities, and that we should harness those resources. And they worked on this really for a couple years. And while it doesn't have maybe a tangible policy impact in the short term, I think it was a really nice collaborative process between some rural communities, some Salt Lake City legislators, and then the governor's energy office also sort of collaborated to get that done. And it's just a nice statement made early in the session. Nice to see that happen.
Nice. And again, that's a resolution, not a bill.
Yes.
It's just a resolution that covers that. But again, Patrice Aaron, she was responsible or kind of championed the resolution last year with respect to, I don't know, at least recognizing some form of climate change or so. Is that?
That was actually former Representative Becky Edwards.
Oh, Becky Edwards.
Current
sorry.
She's a Republican from North Salt Lake. And then Representative Joel Briscoe, who's a Democrat from Salt Lake City, were really the main folks behind that particular bill and resolution. But it was a great statement.
Yes. Okay. So the conversation continues in that sense. All encouraging.
Well, I think that dovetails nicely with HB 411,
okay.
The Community Renewable Act. Mm-hmm.
Ah, tell us about that.
Well, I'll let the fellows tell you, but I wanted to comment on the development of renewable resources in rural communities, because
yeah.
That's where most of the renewable resources will be sited if this bill passes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll let Josh go into the details, but House Bill 411 is a really, really important bill that would create some enabling language to allow the Utah Public Service Commission to work with the electric utility and local governments to construct a solution to help local governments with 100% renewable energy goals to meet that goal in partnership with the utility.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin laid out broadly what the bill does, and Lisa has been involved in the negotiations of this really for the last 3 years or so, and so we'll have a lot of valuable insight. This HB 411 by Representative Steve Handy is, helps communities that choose to do so, that are served by Rocky Mountain Power, to move towards net 100% electricity. And this was a bill that was passed in an interim committee with a fair amount of support, at least as a concept, and then been a little more controversial, not surprisingly,
mm-hmm.
Since it's hit the legislative session this year. But it's the first in the nation innovative attempt to allow communities that want to and customers that want to move their electricity supply towards, again, a net 100% renewable electricity sources, as well as some energy efficiency, demand response, energy storage solutions, while remaining part of the Rocky Mountain Power system, and sort of, giving them a choice while holding customers and communities that don't make that choice harmless. They won't see any significant major changes in their rates as a result. And that passed. It initially failed to pass the House Public Utilities Energy and Technology Committee. Came back thanks to a lot of the hard work that Lisa, Luke from in Park City, and Salt Lake City, and then Rocky Mountain Power did to get it back. It passed 7-4, and then yesterday evening, I was surprised and pleased to see that it got out of the House with fairly significant room to spare, 48 votes, 48-24, and so that was big. And now it awaits a vote before the end of the session in the Senate.
I'm curious, what is the counter argument to this? Why would somebody not support this?
The concern, the concern is that it's written as an opt-out program.
Right.
So everyone is in who wishes to be in through the communities who wish to pursue 100% renewable energy goal. So those communities, by the end of this year, who adopt that goal, then go into a pool to solicit the cost of renewable energy for that amount of customers. And then when we get the final price, then the customers can opt out, knowing the exact price.
Okay.
And this is necessary because right now you can opt in to subscriber solar. You can opt to put solar on your roof.
Right.
There are a couple rate schedules that allow for the construction of solar up to a megawatt or 2 megawatts. But what this does is it provides a larger pool of customers for Rocky Mountain Power to solicit bids and then build or buy renewable energy for a large amount of customers. The opt-out provision is concerning to some who don't understand that there is a public process required by the community, first to adopt a resolution, then to adopt an ordinance if the price is within a range that they feel is worthy of going after. And then when the price is determined, everyone, communities as a whole and or individual customers, have numerous opportunities to opt out and not participate.
Okay. So is that, you mentioned that you had to do some education, bring some education. Where is that why this first failed in the technology committee?
Yes.
But you went in and talked to them, and that's what that's what education is all about, bringing letting them understand, no, this is how it works, this is how it doesn't work, here's your answering their questions and addressing their issues, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there was a lot of good education that really helped shift the tide on this, and that was really the sticking point. And I think the parties who were really driving this made it clear that this is a new, innovative model, and it really needs to have widespread participation, and the opt-out model is essential. Of course, community members, individually community members, will have the choice if they choose not to participate. You know, they can opt out.
Okay.
But by default, everyone is in to start with. And the thinking is, again, that Lisa already mentioned this, but local governments will take additional steps to confirm that this is a direction that they want to go. So there will be additional public processes to make sure community members are well aware of what this looks like.
Okay.
So, and I suspect there will be a lot of discussion in the community when the community hears that the local city council or Summit County Council is pursuing 100% renewable energy from the utility. Mm-hmm. I suspect there will be a lot of conversation within the community that will spread and inform people, in addition to numerous notices and outreach by the utility and by the communities.
Right. Okay. And then other communities are going to reach out to you, or other counties will reach out to you, and like, how are you making this work? What is it? How's it? You're going to be hosting seminars and stuff like that for other municipalities to get up to speed or understand how it can work in their community.
Right.
So this is HB 411. You said, Josh, it passed out of the full House 48-24, correct?
That's right.
And where does it go now?
It now has a Senate floor sponsor, Senator Dan Hemmert from Orem, and it will then... it's waiting for to be introduced in the Senate. We're at the point of the session where there are no more hearings, so they change the rules at the end, and we'll just wait to see where it gets in order of House bills that the Senate considers.
Okay.
And real quick, before we leave this bill, I just want to recognize that the local representative, Tim Quinn, from District 24, which includes this area, is one of the co-sponsors.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a growing list of co-sponsors, which folks can see if you log on to the Utah Clean Energy website and click our regulatory tracker. You can see a nice color-coded list of bills, and you can get a link right to the bill, and it'll show you who all the sponsors and co-sponsors are.
Okay.
And I would like to thank Representative Ferry. He had concerns about the bill and voted against it in committee.
Yeah.
And then came out and spoke to us to learn more about how the process works. And once he understood the process that was well vetted with the Office of Consumer Services, with Rocky Mountain Power, with the Division of Public Utilities and the communities over the last 6 months, once he understood how the process worked, he was able then to support it.
That's fantastic.
Yes, that was
again,
really inspiring.
That's how the system works.
Yes.
And literally, when you say come out, I mean, they come out of committee rooms into the lobby and
yes.
you chat with them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly it. So it's this big mass of people out there talking about different bills, different conditions with different groups, all of them trying to sway, persuade, compel.
Educate, inform.
And in that case, it worked. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. So that's HB 411. Let me reintroduce you guys. Hey, Josh, can you hang out a little longer? I know we're getting near the bottom of the hour. Okay. We got a bunch of other bills to get through, too. We're speaking with Josh Kraft. He is the Government Affairs Director with Utah Clean Energy, Kevin Emerson. He's Energy Efficiency Program Director with UCE, and Lisa Yoder. She's Sustainability Manager for Summit County. And we're talking about all of the bills, House bills, Senate bills that are up for debate, some that have passed, some that maybe not have passed, and some that are still in play because there's another 2 days. This goes till Thursday midnight.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be. Last couple days are really busy and late nights.
So for example, HB 411, we can say, has a lot of momentum, but it may not pass.
True.
We're running out of time, so it's going to be tight.
And sometimes it runs out of time because the clock runs out. Mm-hmm. Not that there's
That's
not
right.
interest. It's just that there's so many other bills that have to be prioritized,
triaged. We have a 45-day session, and if we can't get to it by the end of the day on Thursday, then
next time.
Come back around next time. But we're hopeful that this will get it'll work its way through the process on the Senate side, and
all right.
We'll get this across the finish line.
Let's move on and talk about one you highlighted, Kevin, House Bill 295.
Yeah. So House Bill 295, let me just pull my notes up, is a bill that deals with cleaner transportation options. This is sponsored by Representative Jeff Stenquist. And this would create a new program to provide assistance to vehicle owners with cars that are older and that fail emissions inspections.
Mm.
And as long as the owner of that vehicle also meets an income eligibility guideline, then this bill would create a fund that would help that person basically replace their car and replace it with an EV or another vehicle that's cleaner than the one that failed the emissions inspection.
So it would help replace, meaning help subsidize the cost of replacement?
Subsidize the cost of replacement.
To the tune of what? Do we know? Like, if I have a 2002 model Toyota, and it's got poor emissions or something, I could somehow qualify to receive some type of monies or so, some funding to help me get a more efficient, fuel-efficient car?
That's exactly the situation.
And
as you remember from a couple of years ago, you might remember that the state had a great tax credit for electric vehicles.
Yes.
And we worked really hard, and we unfortunately came up short in reinstating that tax credit for electric vehicles. This is a kind of a different approach to look at which vehicles are, you know, among the dirtiest on the roads, where we can get the biggest kind of bang for the buck from a climate and air quality perspective, and how can we put some money behind the goal of improving air quality and subsidize the cost of those.
So it's supposed to help for electric vehicle purchase, too.
Electric vehicles and not exclusively electric vehicles, but those are definitely.
But that would be great. Josh, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things. One, that this initiative was one of the greater bang for the buck air quality initiatives that were identified.
Right.
And by replacing some older cars, and it's a sliding scale, so you get greater amounts if you're low income and greater amounts if you have a fully electric vehicle than if you have a very relatively clean, traditional gasoline vehicle, again, pushes the market in the right direction and received fairly good support in committee, including from some legislators who just are a little bit more conservative. And Senator Bramble was the Senate sponsor, which is, a fairly conservative, but, open-minded senator. Chris, I just want to push pivot a little bit to say that, 295 and then also and a number of bills are waiting resolution of the budget because they are they require an appropriation. And while the House and the Senate have each passed the base budgets so that all the government can run and the agencies can run, we're still waiting on a final decision on the supplementary budget, which includes requests for appropriations. I think most of your listeners are probably aware the Governor Herbert kicked off a really important discussion about air quality by suggesting that $100 million of the state funding because of the budget surplus should go to air quality initiatives. Didn't provide a lot of detail initially, but there's a number of bills on our list and appropriations requests. This is one of them, SB 111, which is an energy storage grant program by Senator Lincoln Fillmore, is another. And then we've been working in support of low-income efficiency programs that are called the Weatherization Assistance Program. Again, while these bills, they've gotten support in committees, which has been really encouraging, because of the sales tax reform has been delayed, there's some uncertainty as whether they'll pass any additional funding for programs this year, at least until a special session. And so that's kind of one thing that we're all kind of, you know, holding our breath a little bit. And if bills that require funding don't necessarily pass if they don't get the money approved, even if the bill itself is well-liked.
Right.
And so I think those are the biggest questions with 295 and SB 111, or whether they'll make it across the finish line with at least some resources provided with them before the session ends.
Wow. Okay. So the bill could pass, could get support, but if it doesn't get funding, it doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't actually fully become implemented.
It doesn't get implemented. Mm-hmm.
The sponsor has a choice to hold the bill or, you know, and not pass it until it's funded, or they can pass it, but it won't have funding attached.
Wow.
And that's the big thing that a lot of people, a lot of lobbyists are awaiting the resolution of the budget for the year.
Okay. And so that funding is voted separately?
You have to present to an appropriations committee along with your bill if it's not in the governor's base budget proposal.
All right. Okay. Oh, well, geez, thanks, Josh. Yeah, Josh, thanks for throwing some shade on all this, but that's the reality, I guess.
Unfortunately, that is the reality.
It seems to me like the tenor in the legislature is changing to some degree.
Sure.
As we see the support for these types of bills, that especially how 411, HB 411, that is essential to Summit County, Park City, and Salt Lake City attaining their goals of transitioning to 100% renewable energy. And critical to emissions reduction, which also contributes to air quality. So we're seeing support for these types of bills and support for getting old, failing emission cars off the road.
Right.
And it's great to see as we transition to 100% renewable electricity. Josh referenced it earlier, but one of the bills we're tracking that does have an appropriations request is Senate Bill 111, which would create a grant program for energy storage. And battery energy storage is going to be extremely important as we transition to higher penetrations of wind and solar and other renewable energy sources. I agree. It's great to see that there's really active conversations about these kinds of solutions happening up at the Capitol.
Yes.
We've talked about this before. I'll say it again. Can you imagine these bills or even in these resolutions being not passed, but even discussed just 5 years ago?
Right.
Yeah. How far along have we come? I mean, would you agree that just in 5 years things have changed?
Absolutely.
Not 10
yes,
or 15.
Entirely.
Even in 5 years, the conversation has changed. The renewable energy market has grown. Costs have been so competitive. There's been more and more education, and every year folks are realizing it's not a partisan issue. It's just how to meet our energy needs going forward in a way that's good for the economy, good for the environment, good for our health.
Right. And depending on who you talk to, you emphasize the good. Like you say, good for the economy, good for the environment, good for health. Mm-hmm. And depending on it, one may resonate more than another.
Absolutely.
So you have to know your who you're having a conversation with, right?
That's definitely
very true.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a few more minutes. What bills, let's say, did not pass or maybe, you know, are in play but have little hope of passing that you would like to have seen passed?
Well, there's a couple of pieces of legislation that deal with kind of another aspect of transitioning to a low carbon energy system. And let me see if I can find the bill number real quick.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not ready for
that.
Are you talking about 304?
Exactly. Josh read my mind from
fossil fuel tax amendments, House Bill 304.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Representative Joel Briscoe has been working with, for continuing his work on that climate resolution from last year, HCR 007, and has been exploring ways to implement a carbon tax in the state. This has been obviously a robust discussion in a number of states, usually ones that have a slightly bluer political tinge than Utah.
Mm-hmm.
The bill got it did not pass, but it got a hearing, and it got a pretty favorable hearing in the House Rev and Tax Taxation Committee, a nice coalition of young people, a representative from the Catholic Diocese, and some other folks spoke out in favor of it. And I don't think the committee was ready to pull the trigger. It would be a big change, and it would mostly keep the tax burden the same for people. It's a revenue neutral tax, and I think it seems like that's going to continue to be an uphill climb to get a state carbon tax. But it's really encouraging to us that we're thinking about, you know, how we have appropriate incentives and pricing to help us help customers, businesses, communities make decisions about moving towards a low carbon economy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our belief certainly that shift is going to be beneficial. And I think that carbon pricing has to be part of that discussion. And again, I think that the politics of having state carbon pricing in Utah are challenging. But at the same time, you know, that it's getting a more receptive audience, I think, in the past. And we'll see what happens in the interim, non-voting session over the summer. It's supposed to come up for part of the discussion, and we'll see how that goes. And kudos to Representative Briscoe for continuing to keep this part of the dialogue here.
Yeah, I mean, to have the temerity to even bring this to a committee. Astonishing. Because,
yeah.
Just like you say, it's revenue neutral. The bill would refund most of the revenues generated through this tax through a reduction in other taxes.
And this is really a way to let's put some economic signals on those practices that are part of our daily lives, and that is fossil fuel combustion. Let's put a little fee on the external costs of which are to our health and, you know, to the environment. So it's a little easier to shift toward the cleaner energy resources.
Right. So I would pay a little more for my gas or my diesel. I'd pay a little more for my electricity. I'd pay a little more for my natural gas. Mm-hmm. All those fossil fuel related direct use of fossil fuels. But in return, I would see a reduction on some other taxes that I buy, think like food or other dry goods or other items like that. Okay.
Yep.
Revenue new that's a in progress.
It's in progress. Well, it's,
stay
it's
tuned.
Not going to come back this session, but we're going to be following it through the interim, like Josh said, this summer.
Okay. Well, you know what? We got to wrap up. We got so many other bills. Where do people go?
Well,
we have about all the other bills we didn't get to.
We have a Utah legislature tracker on our website, utahcleanenergy.org. There's a kind of block on the page, and you can click it, and it shows all the bills we're following. It gives you the update, gives you a link to the bills, shows who's the sponsor, and tells you all about kind of what the bill's all about. So, yeah, utahcleanenergy.org. You can sign up for our newsletter and get regular updates as well about the status.
Perfect. Lisa?
And Utah Clean Energy does a really nice job of condensing the bills, because these things get pretty complicated.
They sure do.
They do.
They do.
And there's a lot of them. But again, it is a sign of progress that there are all these bills that have the environment in mind, air, water. We didn't even get to like issues related to water or, mm-hmm. or land preservation, conservation. There may be a few of those out there. This was mostly focused on energy and the like. So great stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time. But 2 days, 2 days left.
Three days left, today, tomorrow, and Thursday.
And we have our fingers crossed
take
for
a breath.
Yeah, you have me excited there, Chris. I was like, oh, there's only two? No, there's three.
All right, just imagine two, Josh. It comes a blur. All right, well, we'll reach out to you guys again after the session and see which ones did all the final results.
We'll be happy to come back.
You
yes.
bet.
Thanks so
again. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks so much.
Josh Kraft, Government Affairs with Utah Clean Energy, and Kevin Emerson, Energy Efficiency Program Director. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's take
Thank
a.
You.